Hey there, welcome once again to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek, glad to be back with you here today on November the 24th. It's a Tuesday. We're going to talk about rejoicing on the program today. This is something that really struck me. I'll tell you more about it as we go throughout the show, but today the church celebrates the memorial of St. Andrew Dunglock and his companions. And who these folks were 117 Vietnamese martyrs who lost their lives in a series of persecutions from the years 1740 through 1883. But what really struck me, I was reading an excerpt from a letter by one of these martyrs. His name was Father Paul Le Bao Tin. I'm probably butchering that name, but you got to hear what he said in this letter, because I just want to share it and then talk a little bit about St. Paul's instruction in his letter to the Philippians when it comes to rejoicing, you know, putting it all together. And I think the natural reaction for many of us when we hear to rejoice is, hear a command to rejoice is, why? Why should I rejoice? I got problems in my life. Things are not going well. I can't possibly rejoice. Well, when you hear what St. Paul and Father Paul have to say, it's pretty hard to say, well, I'm not in a position to rejoice. And honestly, I think that's really important for us, because we oftentimes look at what we don't have, we look at our circumstances, and we lose sight of the fact of what we do have. And what we do have is God, the presence of God. And I think it's something that I need to remember every day. I think we all could stand to remember that. So that's going to be the message of today's program, especially as we draw closer to Thanksgiving, which is in a couple of days. And by the way, I won't be on the air on Thanksgiving. I'm going to take the day off on Thursday, so don't panic when I'm not around. I'll mention it again on tomorrow's show, but on Thanksgiving, I will take the day off, and then I'll be back here with you on Friday. Why don't we pray now? And then we'll get on with the program. Sound like a plan? All right, good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, even though I may not feel your presence, by faith, I know that you are with me right now. I know that you are with me. I know that you are watching me. I know that you are all-powerful. And Father, I know that any problem that I'm facing right now is something that you are able to handle. So with that in mind, Father, I turn to you now, first praising you, second giving you thanks for all that you've done for me and for your presence in my life, and then third, asking you to accept all of our intentions, all of our needs, known and unknown. Some of our needs, we don't even know that they are needs in our lives. So we give them all to you. We ask you to give us this day, Father, our daily bread. Help us to trust you more. Help us to have a greater confidence in you, in your ability to handle our problems. Father, send down a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit today, so that I can know the proper words to use on the program, and so that all of our hearts and minds can be opened up to be able to hear your message. Father, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, number one, welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. Thank you for praying with me. Number two. And number three, I wanted to remind you once again, I said it earlier, but this Thursday I'm going to be taking the day off. So I think it's the first day I've taken off since I restarted this program, I think back in March. But it's just a good day to really spend time with my family and to chill for a little bit. You know, we all have so much to be thankful for. And you know, I hear repeatedly, 2020 is so horrible. It's such a crazy year. Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. But that doesn't mean we can't find things to be thankful for. And I know it's a radical message. I know that I might get on your nerves when I tell you this, but I got to tell you this. It's the same way as St. Paul telling you, while he's under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard, to rejoice. And the message is this: God's with you. He hasn't changed. Nothing about him has changed in 2020. If anything, we now recognize even more that we need him. So look, I apologize, but I got to give you the truth. And the truth is, we got a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. God is with us. He is present. But don't misunderstand. There have been plenty of days, especially over the past 9 months or however long it's been since this pandemic hit, that I've really not felt his presence, that I've really struggled. I've had nights where I didn't feel a thing, days too. So don't feel bad if you don't feel it. Feelings are just that. They're feelings. They're emotions. They don't necessarily represent reality. And you know, we need to remember that message. I need to remember it, and you need to remember it. Because there are times when we don't feel God. There are times when we don't feel like praying. And if we give in to those feelings, that's a big mistake. If we let our feelings guide our lives, especially our spiritual lives, we're going to be in big trouble. Because there are days that I don't feel like praying. When my kids were young, there were days that I didn't feel like taking care of them. You know, let's be honest here. There are times we don't feel like doing things. Because we're human, we have a fallen human nature, we can get a little selfish sometimes. And if you solely react based on your feelings, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble, not just in your spiritual life, but in terms of life in general. Because if you don't feel like obeying the law, right? Like I see this red light here, but I don't really feel like stopping right now because I'm in a hurry. I mean, that's not a good move. So learning to go beyond your feelings is a really necessary part of life. And that's what gets us to heaven. And I mentioned at the start of the program, today the church focuses on St. Andrew Dung Lac and his companions, 117 martyrs of Vietnam who gave their lives for the Lord. And just a little additional information. This is from the current issue of the Magnificat. This group of 96 native Vietnamese and 21 Spanish and French missionaries suffered some of the most brutal tortures known to Christendom. So it's a mixture of Vietnamese, Spanish, and French missionaries who suffered, who were martyred, who were tortured, who were killed because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And what got me to thinking today about this, well, before I'm a little ahead of myself, I just want to remind you that tomorrow, Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll do my regular weekly segment on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show. So if you're up and you're able to check it out, I think you might enjoy it. We're going to be talking about the importance of being thankful as we lead into Thanksgiving. I think it's a great thing to remember. So that's 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow on Wednesday on EWTN Radio. I'm going to be on the Sunrise Morning Show. I do it every week, but I always like to remind you in case you want to possibly check it out. Also, if you haven't done so, I encourage you to sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And as I've announced over the past couple of days, we're going to shift to an online Advent theme. So actually, both this show will be featuring a daily Advent retreat, and the devotional is also going to have an Advent theme to it as well. So if you haven't done so, you want that little refresher every day in your inbox, followingthetruth.com. Just sign up by giving your email address. Doesn't cost anything. You can unsubscribe at any time, but you'll get an email from me every day with a Bible verse and a reflection. And we will be all Advent in just a few days. Yeah, Advent starts Sunday, believe it or not. Kind of hard to believe, right? And finally, followingthetruth.com is the place to go if you want to find out more information about my work or check out my books or sign up for the email devotional, followingthetruth.com. All right, now that we got that out of the way, the business portion, let's talk a little bit about this idea of rejoicing. So I said that that at Mass today, the focus is on these 117 Vietnamese, Spanish, and French martyrs who were persecuted from the years 1740 through 1883 in Vietnam. And they suffered. They suffered tremendously. But here's what really made me want to talk about this today. In the Magnificat, what I just read from, there is a brief excerpt from the letter of Father Paul Labau Tin. And here's what he said. Now, remember, this is he's living in some horrible conditions. He writes this letter, and I think we could all learn from this. He said this: "The prison here is a true image of everlasting hell. To cruel tortures of every kind, shackles, calumnies, obscene speech, quarrels, evil acts, swearing, curses, as well as anguish." Let me read this again. "The prison here is a true image of everlasting hell. To cruel tortures of every kind, including shackles, iron chains, manacles, are added hatred, vengeance, calumnies, obscene speech, quarrels, evil acts, swearing, curses, as well as anguish and grief." It's a really vivid picture of the horrible conditions that Father Paul was facing, in addition to these other martyrs. I mean, you know, we might get some resistance, especially here in the United States, when we try to profess our faith to talk about Jesus. A little resistance, a little pushback. But for most of us, when we hear something like this, it's unimaginable. So here he is, this priest, Father Paul Labau Tin, who is going through this horrible treatment in prison. And here's what he has to say in his letter. "In the midst of these torments, which usually terrify others, I am, by the grace of God, full of joy and gladness, because I am not alone. Christ is with me." Did you catch that? I got to read that again because it's so powerful. He's living in horrific conditions, imprisoned, tortured, and subject to all kinds of physical and verbal abuse. And he says, "In the midst of these torments, which usually terrify others, I am, by the grace of God, full of joy and gladness, because I am not alone. Christ is with me." Now, I'm going to tell you, that is such a powerful lesson for us. In the midst of horrific suffering, he is, and he points out, by the grace of God, not due to his own power, not due to anything he did, by the grace of God, he is filled with joy. Why? Because he knows that Christ is with him. And if you get nothing else out of this show, except the fact that Christ is with you right now, in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, then really that's enough, and this whole program is worth it. Because that's a lesson that I think we all need to learn and internalize and really believe in our hearts every day. And if we really got it, we would never be sad. And we would be able to rejoice each day. You know, the problem is, and this is what, because I wrote about joy, it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I wrote about joy in my latest book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, and I did a whole chapter on joy. So a lot of this is fresh in my mind. But one of the things that I wrote about joy is joy is a response to the Lord's presence within us. And it's not dependent on external circumstances. Joy is not pleasure. Pleasure is, I go outside, it's a beautiful sunny day, the temperature is great, there's no rain, there's not a cloud in the sky. I am responding. It's an involuntary response. That's pleasure. That pleasure is a response to my external circumstances. I eat a good meal. I don't need to think that this food is really good, so therefore I'll choose to rejoice. No, I eat something that tastes good, I respond automatically, involuntary. Joy, on the other hand, is a decision. It's a conscious choice. It's a response to God's presence with me and in me. And we all got that. No pandemic can take that away. No persecution. Nothing can take away that fact that God is with me at all times. And I think when we understand that, then we are completely, our circumstances are completely powerless to take away our joy and make us miserable. Because nothing will ever change the fact that God is with us. And it's such a powerful concept. And look, I've struggled with this. I continue to struggle with this. I'm getting better at it, again, by the grace of God, like Father Paul said. I'm not doing it on my own, but I'm doing it by the grace of God. But it all begins with the knowledge. You know, a lot of times our faith begins in our head. Intellectually, I need to remember that God is with me. That's the first thing to remember. No matter what is going on in my life, no matter how badly things are falling apart, God is with me. I need to remind myself of that several times each day, and I do. I either out loud or internally repeat to myself, God, you are with me. Jesus, you are with me. Holy Spirit, you are working in me. I remind myself of that. Why? Because I forget. And when I do that, see, when I do that, then it's easier for me to be able to rejoice. Because again, that's a conscious decision. It's a choice. I choose to rejoice. It's not a feeling. It's an action. And when I rejoice, it produces greater joy in me. It's kind of weird the way it works. And one of the things that's very important when it comes to creating joy in us is to be grateful, is to go through the list of things. And look, this is Thanksgiving week, so this is the perfect week to do that. To rejoice not only in the fact that God is with us, but in all the good things that He has given to us, including another day of life, air to breathe, electricity, you know, a lot of the things that we sometimes overlook. So now, you know, with that in mind, after, I mean, that was a really, really powerful excerpt from the letter by this this priest who would ultimately be martyred after being held in captivity and tortured. It drew my thought process, took me to St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, and he had a similar message. And Paul is, you know, he's writing this under house arrest, which sounds kind of tame. But it really wasn't, because he was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. Paul was not exactly having fun. But in his letter of Philippians, to the Philippians, I'm sorry, he mentions joy and rejoicing many times. And one of the more popular variations of this is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And here's what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Now notice, he says it not once, but twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. It's as if he knew we would miss it or ignore it or say, well, what do I got to rejoice about, right? He said it again, I'm telling you, rejoice. And then note that when he says we should rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Not just when things are going well for you, not just when you're breezing through life without a care in the world, but rejoice always. At your lowest point, on your worst day imaginable, rejoice. In a prison cell, rejoice. Persecution, torture, abuse all around you, rejoice. See, it is possible. And why is it possible? Paul goes on to say that in verse 5 of this letter to the Philippians chapter 4, because the Lord is at hand. And one of the, you know, now that I think about it, this is also a perfect Advent message, because the Lord is with us, right? I mean, he's here. His presence can't get any more real or better in your life and my life. What can improve is our awareness of his presence and of my responding to his presence. I mean, he can't possibly be any more present to us, but we can be more present to him. And that's what Advent is all about, to clear out the junk and to get ready to welcome Jesus fully as possible into our lives. And that's a great reminder for us. Rejoice because the Lord is at hand. Okay, well, now I'm going to spend all of Advent trying to better understand that, trying to do what I can to better respond to his presence, to welcome him more deeply into my life. You see, it leads right into the Advent season. But doesn't it sound appealing to be able to rejoice? I mean, not just go through the motions. I'm not saying you're always going to feel it, because sometimes you won't. But can you imagine getting to the point where you are feeling it and things are going wrong and you're saying, yeah, but I choose to rejoice because the Lord is with me? Here's what I've learned. I found that initially it's tough to do that. You could still do it, but you're not going to feel it. But the more you do it and the closer you get to Jesus and the more you work at it, and it is work. You know, we got to get that focus on him, remind ourselves he's with us, remind ourselves that he loves us, turn to him, ask for the grace. There is work involved, but the more you do it, the easier and more natural it is to be able to rejoice, even when things are going wrong in life, to rejoice. And it does get easier. I find it easier to rejoice now amidst negative circumstances than I did in the past. Much easier. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Not even close. But it's a lot easier for me right now. Because especially as I hear this news, the negative news about COVID and the numbers and the statistics are all going sky high, and I don't dwell on the news. I really don't. I don't spend too much time watching the news, listening to it. I just try to keep up with it. But you still get a lot of negativity out there because you hear a lot of bad news because it's rough out there right now. But I find myself still not getting upset because I know inside of me, and I know this is grace, God's still here. He's in charge. He's in charge. He's with me. He's created a place, a room in heaven for me. You know, he knows the plans he has for me. His plan for me is for me to live with him forever in heaven. I mean, that's pretty good. And that comes about by growing close to him, by spending time with him each day, by praying. You know, I receive the sacraments as often as I can. I go to Mass each day. I receive Jesus in the Eucharist. This helps. All these things help me. And it's easier for me now to rejoice. But I would encourage you to do it right now. As the old saying goes, fake it till you make it. Even if you don't feel it, do it anyway. Lord, I choose to rejoice because I know you're with me. You still did it. You don't have to feel it. Do it. I choose to rejoice, Lord. If this priest can rejoice in a horrible prison, and St. Paul can rejoice in the midst of persecution and while under house arrest, well, I think I can rejoice today. And the more you do it, the more you feel it. So that's the message for today. Rejoice. Choose to rejoice based on the fact that the Lord is with you. And he ain't going anywhere. That's the beautiful thing. He's not going anywhere. See, you know, when you look at, especially as we head into the Advent season, we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus. I think one of the things that blows me away is, I'm going to use an imperfect explanation, imperfect language to explain something pretty deep, but I think you'll get the idea. Life on earth can be a drudgery at times. A lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort. It's not the easiest. It's not a walk in the park. God loves us so much that he sent his son right into the mess. And Jesus willingly volunteered for the task. Now, again, this is not theologically accurate, but I get. But overall, it is. I'm not, like, the details didn't really happen this way, but I can just picture Jesus saying to his dad, "All right, Dad, send me down there. I'm up for the job. Suffering, dying on the cross, no problem. I love these people so much. I can't wait to do it." And he came to us into our mess so he could save us, because he knew that we couldn't save ourselves. That's love, you know? That's love. And knowing that he's with me and he chose to be with me in the midst of my suffering, that makes me feel really good. And that gives me the reason to rejoice, a reason to rejoice. I can rejoice because Jesus is with me and he chose to be with me and he chose to suffer alongside of me and lead me to heaven. For that reason, I rejoice. So I hope you'll do the same thing today. I hope you'll rejoice and not focus. I mean, I'm not saying there's not suffering in life. Yeah, suffering, it's really hard sometimes. But focus on the fact that the Lord is with you and try to get closer to him. And we'll continue to do that together, especially once we begin Advent. That's going to be the focus. Let's get closer to Jesus every day. And then it's going to be a lot easier for you to rejoice, okay? So listen, I'm going to be praying for you. Please pray for me. Thank you for all of your responses to my request for additional donations. And again, I'm going to say it again, if you haven't done so and you're able to support me financially so I can keep this program going and I can keep my daily email devotional going, I would be grateful. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and click on donate. You can make that donation securely through PayPal, either to become a monthly sponsor or to make a one-time donation. But I thank you for considering that. I thank you if you've already donated. And I thank you for being here with me every day. It really means a lot. All right, I'm going to run. God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow on the show. I hope you'll be able to catch the Sunrise Morning Show, too, if you're up early. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. And remember, rejoice. Talk to you next time.